Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, October 2, 2024, 1 John.
I know you all know this. Some of you are creatures of habit. Do not come here tomorrow. Do not drive through the parking lot. It's going to be resurfaced. They don't want anybody driving on it. So this is Thursday night class on Wednesday. Sunday, come on. Sunday is a communion Sunday. Very, very special. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And we are in a great prayer promise in 1 John 5:14-15. Preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you for the privilege we have this evening of assembling to fellowship with you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. We are studying the dynamics of intercessory prayer. We're actually looking at the prayer promise, 1 John 5:14-15, but we're concluding last week on the dynamics of intercessory prayer. And we're going to see tonight that one of the categories of intercessory prayer is praying for believers that you don't even know. And perhaps, hopefully, you, as a result of your growing up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, as a result of you developing virtue, love, and having it brought to completion in your heart, you realize that the body of Christ is just not in Nevada. The body of Christ is not just in America. The body of Christ is all over the world. And part of the body of Christ faces persecution every day. And as you develop virtue love and have it brought to completion in your heart, you think about the body of Christ that is facing persecution day after day after day. There are Christians in communist countries. And the last issue of The Voice of the Martyrs is on communist Vietnam. And there is a part of the body of Christ in communist Vietnam. Perfect introduction for what we are going to be studying tonight. It's entitled Persecution of Vietnam's Christians. I estimate that roughly half of you who read this magazine may have lived through the global expansion of communism and the resulting Cold War that continued into the late 1980s. As one who experienced that era, I wonder how many of us still consider the plight of Christians in communist Vietnam a significant, ongoing situation. And I also wonder if we have done a good job explaining to the younger generation that more than three decades after the end of the Cold War, Vietnam's communist regime continues to severely persecute our brothers and sisters in Christ. Communism in Southeast Asia may seem like old or insignificant news in light of the violent spread of radical Islam. But that is exactly how Vietnam's communists intend to win, by convincing the world that oppression does not exist in their country. After all, their constitution guarantees that, quote, all individuals have the right to freedom of belief and religion. That's in their constitution. The core of the communist strategy in Vietnam is to hide their oppression. Instead of openly arresting Christians for activities of their faith, the communists have been experts at deceitfully punishing Christians through land seizures and imprisonment on false charges or imprisonment on no charges at all. As we seek to meet the needs of persecuted Christians in places like Vietnam, we are at times limited in the material assistance we can provide. Their persecutors patiently but persistently oppress them, denying their access to land, denying their access to electricity, education, and other community services. But even when we are unable to provide much tangible help, we can always serve them in the way that means the most to persecuted Christians, by sharing their stories with other members of the body of Christ. We can provide encouragement and prayer prayer. How much time have you spent in intercessory prayer for unknown Christians, the body of Christ, in communist countries, in prison, persecuted, oppressed? How much time have you spent in intercessory prayer for them? The mature believer does. But we are so caught up in America with everything going on in our little personal life that nobody else matters. The body of Christ doesn't matter. You can be the voice of the martyrs this month by making sure our persecuted brothers and sisters in Vietnam are remembered by your family, group, and church. And may you be richly blessed with the peace and the joy of the Lord as you do so. When I got the Voice of the Martyrs catalog, it had the picture of four little Vietnamese girls on the front. These are the cutest little bugs you've ever seen. And I look at them, and when I saw them and then read that, I went into prayer right away. Those are sweethearts. But this is in communist Vietnam, but it's also in communist China. It's in communist Russia. It's all over. Ukraine, Belarus, all of these areas have the body of Christ. And one of the areas of dynamic intercessory prayer is praying for people you don't know. You haven't met them. You don't know them. But when you have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, your personal love for God the Father will motivate dynamic impersonal love for all and praying for those believers you've never met. You don't even know. 1 John 5:14 and 15 says this, and this is the confidence. Now, confidence is something that's in the heart of the believer that's living the spiritual life. Confidence is the result of growing up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, having maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart. And when you have that, you know God. When you know God, you love God. You know the essence of God. You know that God is in virtue love. And you know that as a result of knowing that God is virtue love, you have maximum confidence in God and maximum confidence in the Word of God. And that's the winner, believer. And this is the confidence which we have before Him, God the Father, that if we ask anything in prayer according to His will, He hears us. In fact, when we know that He hears us in whatever we might have asked in prayer, we know that we are granted and obtain the requests which we have asked of Him. Confidence. Confidence and effectiveness in prayer exists when the believer has advanced to spiritual adulthood. Confidence is a virtue directed toward God. Confidence in prayer is dependent upon knowledge of God's will. And therefore, effectiveness in prayer must relate to knowing the will of God. 1 John 5:14 and 15 is a prayer promise for the believer who has grown up in grace, grace orientation, and knowledge, doctrinal orientation, of the Lord Jesus Christ. This believer has attained spiritual adulthood. The most effective prayer life begins in spiritual adulthood, because now the believer has a thorough understanding of God's will, and his prayers comply with God's will. Now, until the believer attains spiritual adulthood, his prayers will be semi-effective at best. Prayer is virtue dependent, and therefore when you fulfill the ultimate objective of the spiritual life and have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, this is when your prayers will be powerful and effective, and they will accomplish much. In spiritual childhood, your prayers are not very effective, because most of your petitions are related to your lust patterns of your old sin nature and arrogance. And when you do pray for others, it's only for people that you like, that you eat pizza with, or something like that. But all intercessory prayer must be motivated by impersonal love for all. The great power in intercessory prayer is having impersonal love for all mankind. The effectiveness of prayer and the spiritually mature believer is seen in Hebrews 4:16 and Psalm 116:1-2, and we saw that last time. The promise to the believer in spiritual adulthood is found in John 15:7. If you abide in me, refers to living the spiritual life, and my words abide in you, maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart. You see, the key to powerful and effective prayer is to grow up in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and have maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart. And when you have maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart, then you can ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Why? Because by that time, you will know the will of God and have enough divine viewpoint thinking to know how to use the weapon of prayer effectively. One of the signs of spiritual adulthood is your devotion to prayer. When you have attained spiritual adulthood, you also fulfill your royal commission of your royal priesthood. And what's the result of fulfilling your royal priesthood? Spiritual sacrifices. And we studied that in Hebrews 13:15-16. And what's the first spiritual sacrifice mentioned? Prayer. The spiritual sacrifice of prayer. You're fulfilling your commission of royal priesthood, offering prayers, thanksgiving to God the Father. We also saw that in Romans 12:9-16. Well, we closed last week with the dynamics of intercessory prayer. We're going to start with that this evening. And you have 3 points. The dynamics of intercessory prayer. First of all, we noted the prayer of Elijah on Mount Carmel demonstrates the power of intercessory prayer for the nation, for the client nation to God. And that is seen in James 5:16-18. Fantastic passage. James 5:16, the prayer of a grace righteous man is powerful and effective. Now, what's a grace righteous man? A spiritually mature believer. How do we know it's a spiritually mature believer? Because we have the illustration in verse 17. Who illustrates this phrase, the prayer of a grace righteous man is powerful and effective? The illustration is Elijah. Elijah is the greatest believer in his day. Spiritually mature believer. So here's the illustration of a grace righteous man. And his prayers are powerful and effective. Elijah was a man just like us. Just like us, usins in here tonight. See? Just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it didn't rain. It didn't rain on the land for 3.5 years. And then again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain. And the earth produced its crops, and the nation was blessed because of that powerful and effective prayer of a grace-righteous believer. Now, the United States is a client nation to God right now. How much longer? I don't know. But if you live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, attain the ultimate objective of having virtue, love brought to completion in your heart, then you will also have powerful and effective intercessory prayer and pray for our nation. We're on the verge of the fifth cycle of national discipline. Very few believers are even praying for our nation. But after these classes we're in right now, it's right on God's perfect timing. We couldn't be in better classes in each class right now. The Wednesday night class, the importance of spiritual revival. And I pray for America because I love America. I love our nation. I love what that flag stands for. All of the freedoms that have been purchased for us by visible heroes on battlefields all over the world. But we are a nation in apostasy and degeneracy. And if there's no spiritual revival, well, we'll be like the days of Jeremiah. And Nebuchadnezzar and the Chaldeans coming in and destroying the southern kingdom. But if we're like the days of Isaiah and there is a spiritual revival, then Jesus Christ will deliver us from the fifth cycle of discipline. So our classes we are studying, there's a reason why we're studying these right now. Well, I just go through word by word, verse by verse. But you know what? God knows that. And He's got it all set up for right now at this time in history. There's nothing more important. Nothing more important. I know we got a lot of believers. They think everything's more important. There's nothing more important than what is being taught in the Word of, from the Word of God in Upland Bible Church now. So first of all, point one, the prayer of Elijah on Mount Carmel demonstrates the power of intercessory prayer for the nation, James 5:16-18. And then we noted in point two, the power of prevailing prayer was exercised in the early church on behalf of Peter, who was in prison and was going to be executed in less than 24 hours. He was going to be executed. But the church was praying for him. Not very many of them thought it was going to work. Like a lot of you pray and don't think, well, it isn't going to work. But there were some people in there, and I think that one of the great believers was Rhoda, the servant. She was a spiritually adult believer. And when Peter was delivered, Acts 12, 6 to 19, the result of the prayer was Peter's dramatic deliverance. And then point three, he noted that prayer for unbelievers is legitimate and a part of your dynamics in intercessory prayer. You can pray for your loved ones who are unbelievers. Paul prayed for the Jewish people who were unbelievers. So prayer for unbelievers is legitimate and a part of your dynamics in intercessory prayer, Romans 10:1. That brings us to point four. And point four, well, that's why God put it on my heart to read the voice of the martyrs. Prayer for unknown believers. Prayer for believers that you've never met, you don't know. You've never met the believers in Vietnam. I'm going through this and, well, just seeing these little ladies here, my heart goes out to them. But my heart goes out. We have little ladies here in this church that are going through. They're just little gals. They're running hurdles already. They're already running hurdles. And I know that many of you, if not all of you, know about Natalia and what she is facing. Natalia is a sweetheart. I love her to death. And she comes in. She can't come in. She used to come in and get vitamins, but my vitamins are, I guess, bad for her right now. So she doesn't come in and get the vitamins that I have. She's had a liver transplant, and she has a lot of hurdles she's run with that, but now her kidneys are not functioning properly, and she got more. But this little lady is, she knows more about God and the Word of God than most adult Christians in America. And she's a gem. And I hope you hold up little Natalia. I do. Every time she comes in, I tell her, I said, Natalia, I pray for you every day. She immediately gives me a big hug and puts her arms around my neck. So it's not just little people in, here are little girls in Vietnam in a Christian family. So prayer for unknown believers. We see this in Colossians chapter 1. Turn over to Colossians chapter 1. Paul hasn't met these believers. He's heard about them. He's heard about, he knows the pastor that's teaching them, Epaphras. He knows all about Epaphras, but he's never met these believers. But he's praying for them. Unknown believers. Colossians chapter 1, verse 3. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And notice again, precisely correct procedure. Your prayers always go to God the Father. We always thank God the Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints. They've grown up in virtue love. They not only have personal love for God the Father, but impersonal love for all the saints. The faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, aletheia, absolute truth, the gospel that has come to you. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth, aletheia, absolute truth. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love, your virtue love, by the agency of the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. And for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. He's praying for believers that are unknown to him. We have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge, epinosis knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way. And now we have another spiritual sacrifice of your royal priesthood, bearing fruit, maximum divine good production. That's production that's the result of the filling of the Spirit and maximum doctrine in your heart, bearing the fruit, maximum divine good production in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, epinosis knowledge of God, completed knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have endurance, forbearance, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. Ah, that's the kingdom we belong to, the kingdom of light. A lot better than the other kingdom, the kingdom of darkness. You've been delivered out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. So there is prayer for unknown believers. Colossians 1, 3 through 12. Point 5, the true Lord's Prayer is found in John chapter 17. And this is the most phenomenal prayer ever made. The true Lord's Prayer, the Gospel of John chapter 17. So turn over to John chapter 17. John chapter 17, it starts out and says in verse 1, after Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and he prayed, Father. Now this is the eternal Son of God, and he prays to the Father, precisely correct procedure. Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you, For you granted him authority over all people that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Everyone who chooses from their free will to believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, through faith in Christ, whom you have sent to solve the world problem of sin, Operation Grace, the cross. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began, from eternity past. He is the eternal Son of God. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me, everyone who believed in Christ, to everyone, those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the doctrines that you gave me, and they accepted them. Humility, positive volition. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. Very first Christmas, the eternal Son of God was sent from heaven to earth to take on true humanity and solve the world problem of sin, Operation Grace. And they believed that you sent me. I pray for them, intercessory prayer. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, those who have placed their faith in Christ. For they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine, and glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world. And I am coming to you, the resurrection, ascension, and session of Christ at the right hand of the Father. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, who and what you are, your essence, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that the scripture would be fulfilled. That's Judas Iscariot. I am coming to you now, but I teach these doctrines while I'm still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my happiness within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them. For they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Verse 17, sanctify them. Experiential sanctification. The advance all the way to spiritual maturity. Sanctify them by means of aletheia, the absolute truth of your word. Your word is aletheia. Your word is absolute truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you love me before the creation of the world, from eternity past, as the eternal Son of God. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. Operation Grace, I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the virtue love that you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them. Now, this is the most phenomenal prayer ever given. And we have here also another very important doctrine, which we will be seeing this on our Sunday class in Romans. We have been studying the indwelling of God, the Holy Spirit. But here the Lord Jesus Christ presents the indwelling of Jesus Christ. You're not only indwelt by God the Holy Spirit, you're indwelt by Jesus Christ. And he mentions that again and again in this prayer. And we're going to study that fantastic doctrine, the indwelling. Jesus Christ is indwelling each one of you. In your body, the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, and the Father. The only time in all of human history, it's only in the church age, and the church age believer has the indwelling of the whole Trinity. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Never occurred before, only now. You are so blessed. So blessed. And maybe you can just take a few moments tonight and think about the fact that Jesus Christ indwells you. Jesus Christ indwells you. And maybe that will even motivate you to make some good decisions for a change instead of bad decisions. Point six, we have the dynamics of the Apostle Paul's intercessory prayers. Now, the greatest prayer of all time is from Jesus Christ, John chapter 17. The Apostle Paul is the greatest believer perhaps of all time. And here we see the dynamics of the Apostle Paul's intercessory prayer. Turn over to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. We'll start at verse 15. For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you, and your virtue love for all the saints, your impersonal love for all the saints, I do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers. Here's, nobody had more on his plate than the Apostle Paul. Nobody had more on his plate. And yet he prayed day after day after day. And no one had as much assigned to him in God's plan for his life than Paul did. But he always had time for powerful and effective prayer. Verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a lifestyle of wisdom, even from revelation by the epinosis knowledge of Him. I pray that the eyes of your heart, the eyes that really matter, the eyes of your heart. Now, we have physical eyes, and your physical eyes, you get older, they go to pot. You go blind. They take all kinds of stuff for it. They operate. They fall out. No, they don't do that. Your physical eyes are not what matters. It's the eyes of your heart that matters. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of His power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of His might, which He brought about in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above, and all these are categories of fallen angels, all rule, ruling demons, all authority, demons in authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, the church age, but also in the one to come, the tribulation. And He put all things in subjection under His feet, Operation Footstool. And He gave Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, as head over all things to the church which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Jesus Christ is the head, we are His body. We make up the body of Christ. Turn over to Ephesians 3, or just look over to Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3, starting at verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, divine power, supernatural power to live the supernatural spiritual life. The spiritual life is the supernatural way of life. It demands supernatural power for its execution. It can only be lived by divine power, the power of God the Holy Spirit. To be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in virtue love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and height and depth, and to know the love for Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do huperek perisu. I like the Greek word. Huperek perisu. Exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. The dynamics of intercessory prayer. You've seen it from Jesus Christ. You've seen it from the greatest believer of all, the Apostle Paul. You've seen it in praying for unknown believers. You've seen it in praying for unbelievers, praying for your nation. It's absolutely phenomenal. So 1 John 5:14 and 15. And this is the confidence which we have before him, God the Father, that if we ask anything in prayer according to his will, he hears us. In fact, when we know that he hears us in whatever we might have asked in prayer, we know that we are granted and obtain the requests which we have asked of him. Now we go on to verse 16, and now we have the limitation of prayer. If any man see his brother sin a sin, if any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death. This is the conditional particle aeon plus the aorist active subjunctive of horao, plus the indefinite pronoun tis, plus the accusative singular of adelphos with the definite article, and the genitive singular of autos, plus the present active participle of hamartano with the accusative singular of hamartia. So we have hamartano, hamartia, plus the negative me, with the prepositional phrase pros plus the accusative singular of thanatos. Now, we have here a conditional particle, aeon, plus the subjunctive. E-A-N. Aeon plus the subjunctive introduces a third class condition. And the third class condition is the condition of probability. Maybe you will see this, and maybe you will not see this. This is not something that occurs every day. So we translate it if, and then the indefinite pronoun tis means anyone, someone, somebody. And this is the subject here is a believer. This is a believer that's living the spiritual life. This is the believer who has attained spiritual maturity. This is a believer who has great virtue, love brought to completion in his heart. This is the believer who not only has a great personal love for the Father, but it motivates him to have great impersonal love for all and for fellow believers, all fellow believers. That's who tis is here. And then we have the verb horao. Aeon H-O-R-A, long O, horao. We get our English word horizon from horao. Let's get a couple of points. One, horao generally means to see or to catch sight of or to notice. To see, to catch sight of, or to notice. Two, the subject of the verb horao is a believer, tis. Anyone, someone, somebody, but it's a believer. The subject of the verb horao is a believer. Three, the believer is living the spiritual life. He's attained spiritual maturity. He has virtue love brought to completion in his heart. That's this believer. Four, therefore, he has a powerful and effective prayer life. Therefore, he has a powerful and effective prayer life. Five, intercessory prayer is very important to him. Very important to him. Six, he wants to help a fellow believer who is sinning, who is living in the cosmic system, by praying for him. He wants to help a fellow believer who is sinning, living in the cosmic system, by praying for him. And make sure you see it. Praying for him. Point seven. This is not gossiping. This is not slandering. This is not maligning. This is not judging. He's not judging him. He's not maligning him, slandering him, gossiping about him. There's a lot of believers. This is what they do. And they think they're great believers, and they are the worst kind of believers. When you do these things, you know who you are imitating? The ruler of this world, Satan. You know his name, Satan? You know what it means? Accuser. He is the accuser of the brethren. And he goes to court in heaven. He goes to court before Jesus Christ and accuses believers. Judges them, slanders them, maligns them. When you judge, slander, malign, you're just imitating Satan, the ruler of this world. That's who you're imitating. You're not imitating Jesus Christ. You're imitating Satan. You are the worst, the scum. You can't get any lower than to function the same way Satan did. And when we get to Zechariah, wait till we get to Vision 4 in Zechariah. There's a high priest named Joshua. This isn't Joshua the son of Nun. This is Joshua the high priest. And Satan went up to a court case in heaven and accused Joshua, judged Joshua, slandered Joshua, maligned Joshua, the high priest. Because, you see, they've been brought back to the land. God is the 70 years of being in captivity is over. God has brought them back into the land, and he wants them to rebuild the temple and to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And Satan doesn't want that to happen. So he thought he'd go right to the head honcho, the high priest, and I'll condemn the high priest. He, look at his clothes. They're covered, well, some of you might even look ahead to Zechariah before we finish Joel. He's wearing clothes, and Satan says, his clothes are covered with, It says filthy in the King James. It's excrement. There's another four-letter word that I could say, but the dignity of the clergy, I'll hold back on that. Excrement. His clothes, Satan said, are covered with excrement. Now, never specifically states what his sins were and evil were, but he was in Babylon for a long time and influenced by the evil of Babylon, and his clothes were excrement. And you know what? Jesus Christ is the defense attorney. And Jesus Christ, as the defense attorney, said, "Get out of here, Satan." He's a brand pulled from the fire, and he got new clothes. He rebounded. Joshua rebounded and recovered, turned back to God and the Word of God, and became a great high priest. But the Lord, the believer has a defense attorney in the court of heaven. That defense attorney is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we got a lot of evil believers, the scum kind of believers, who just love to judge, slander, malign. Now, we don't have high priests. We got pastor teachers. There's a good one you can go after. Go after the pastor teacher. Judge, slander, malign. Go ahead. I have a defense attorney. And that defense attorney has already... Now, this might surprise and shock some of you, but I have sinned too. Well, once a long time ago. Now, here's something. You have sinned too. Every one of you in here. Do, 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 do. We all sin. The Apostle Paul sinned. We all sin. We're born spiritually dead. Adam's original sin imputed to the sin nature. We're born spiritually dead. As a result of that, we produce personal sins. And after we believe in Christ, the sin nature is still here. He sends up temptations, and we still sin. We will sin as you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. You'll sin less, but you still sin. That's not what... This person here is just like all of you. That's who's being brought up here, first of all. This person here is just like all of you. I'll give you the corrected translation. If anyone has seen his fellow believer committing a sin, not terminating in death, the sin unto death, he shall ask in prayer, intercessory prayer for this believer, and he, God the Father, will give life to him. Life to him, to those who commit sin, not terminating in death, the sin unto death. And that's all of us. So one of the dynamic functions of intercessory prayer is praying for fellow believers. And you might, and you don't go around and try to dig up dirt. You just find out that they've made some bad decisions and they're out of fellowship with God, and he's a fellow believer. So you pray intercessory prayer for them. And this is very illegitimate. Now, there's the end of it. There is a believer who has been living in the cosmic system for a long time. And as a result of living in the cosmic system a long time, he's gone through warning discipline, intensive discipline, and he's come to dying discipline, the sin unto death. There are people like that. Like the incestuous Corinthian. 1 Corinthians 5:1-5. The incestuous Corinthian. He was having incest with his mother. And the Apostle Paul put him under the sin of death. Now, just let you relax. God has not given the pastor the authority to put any of you under the sin of death. I've thought about it. But God said, no, no, that you're not an apostle. Pastor Olson, you're a pastor. So, but Paul put this incestuous Corinthian under the sin of death. He didn't pray for him. He was past the point of prayer. There's only one thing he could do, and he had to do it himself. Rebound. And when Paul put him under the sin of death, it scared the living crap. I don't know if crap lives, but it scared the crap out of him. And he rebounded. He rebounded, got back in fellowship, turned around, and then the church wouldn't let him back in. Paul had to write and say, now let the fellow back in. He's recovered. He's rebounded. He's turned back to God and the Word of God. Let him back in. So, he wants to help, point six, he wants to help a fellow believer who is sinning and living in the cosmic system by praying for him. Seven, this is not gossiping or slandering or maligning or judging. Eight, this is virtue. Virtue, intercessory prayer for this sinning believer that he might come to his senses and become aware that he has a problem. This is virtue, intercessory prayer for this sinning believer that he might come to his senses and become aware that he has a problem. Adelphos is brother, fellow believer, fellow member of the royal family of God. Intensive pronoun autos is used for the third person personal pronoun his. If anyone has seen his fellow believer, and then we have hamartano, hamartia. Ooh. Well, that's where we'll pick it up next time. We'll start out with hamartano, hamartina, hamartia. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. We ask that God the Holy Spirit might challenge each one of us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.